Hello, my name is Kayleen Welsh. Welcome to Conversations on WDRT. I'm so pleased to be your host today for our conversation with Trina Erickson, who is the director of the library here in Viroqua, the McIntosh Memorial Library. So I'm just, one, excited to meet you, Trina, because there's so many things that are going on at the library. I just see constantly this list of activities and events that you've got going on and awards that you guys have been winning. And so I would love to know just a little bit more about you and some of the things going on at the library. So welcome.
Well thank you. I can talk for a long time on this topic, so you have nothing to worry about, Kayleen.
Well, it's good, because even just sitting here chatting a little bit as we're getting ready for the show, it's like, oh, I have so many questions and there's so many things we could talk about. So I'd love to know, to start with, just a little bit more about you.
Of course. Well, Viroqua is my hometown. I was born and raised here, graduated from Viroqua High School. And after graduation, I went to Decorah, Iowa to attend Luther College. Interesting enough, out of my graduating class, seven of us went to Luther College. So I think for our parents, they were thrilled there were so many Viroqua kids at Luther for ride shares back and forth. But I graduated with a degree in communications, not so much with media or radio, but general communications. It was starting to come out as kind of a buzz for companies looking for people that really wanted to be good voices out to the public or to vendors. And my first job, I landed with the United States Senate. And it was quite an interesting ride, but I kept being called back to Viroqua. My family was here, and this is where my heart is. And so after my time with the United States Senate, I worked for a national nonprofit organization before finally landing a job in Viroqua. I was the news director at WVRQ radio station for a number of years, and absolutely loved it, loved radio. It's so much fun. But when I worked at WVRQ, I did have some extra time in the afternoon, and I decided it was time to really invest in my community. And I decided to become a volunteer at the McIntosh Memorial Library with Mrs. Krager. Many of you probably remember Shirley Krager. She was our Dear You Services Director. And so I started volunteering with her, helping with story time, prepping for activities, shelving books, et cetera, et cetera. And I did that for 1 year before being hired as the library director. And I've been the director for 16 years.
Wow. Okay. So there's even so many things there just to pack take apart. So yeah. Well, first of all, I just want to say, yeah, Luther, you know, I'm an Iowa girl, so that's, you know, a good thing to come with. And I have several family members that have gone to Luther.
Nice.
So just interesting. It's this little tri-state area that we live in mm-hmm. has a lot to offer. And so that was, you know, not too far from home, but a great opportunity for, you know, it's such a cool little town, Decorah is.
Well, and I think that's what it was. It was a step up from Viroqua in regards to population, but it was a school I could really resonate with, and it was a good choice for me.
Well, and then to go from little town Viroqua to U.S. Senate job sounds like kind of a big leap, too.
I worked for United States Iowa Senator Charles Grassley.
Oh, my. Okay. And he's been a big man in the news, too, in recent years.
And I remember at the time thinking, this is a risky job, because what if he doesn't get reelected? And now all these years later, he's still in the Senate. So I probably didn't have a big risk there if I wanted to stay with him. But there was nothing against the job or working for Senator Grassley. I was just simply called back home.
Yeah.
And I was glad to find my way.
There is a call back home sometimes, isn't there? I mean, that's
absolutely,
you know, for sure. And I love the fact that, one, you took a job, you know, developing this radio skill, because I, of course, that's something that I'm interested into. So that's a fun thing. And then being news director, you had to really get a good sense of the community and what's going on in the area.
It was fantastic. And I was able to really reconnect, because when you're a news director, you're going to a ton of meetings with the schools, with the county government, with city government, and you really become quite immersed in your community. I've always said, if you're new to a town and you want to get to know people, work at a radio station or volunteer, because the connections run deep. And it was just an outstanding experience for me.
There's something about small town living, too, that's kind of an interesting thing along this line, isn't it? I mean, I spent some years working as the news editor of the Elma Key Journal in Lansing, Iowa.
Yes.
So not radio, but a little bit different thing, but doing the same as far as covering school board,
yes.
covering city council meetings, trying to keep an eye on the pulse
of course.
Of what's going on in town. And, yeah, certainly meeting a lot of people and it's an interesting way to get to know your community.
You really have to love it to do it, because there it's a big time commitment, and you have to love meetings because you sit in countless meetings. But what a great way to get to know people and really, like you said, get to know the pulse of your community.
Yeah. Well, all right. So, and then from there, then I really like the idea of you saying to yourself, I want to invest myself in the community. You know, if I'm going to live here and be a part of things, what can I do to contribute? So
yes.
Stepping out to volunteer,
yeah.
Even as a busy person, you found time.
Yeah, it was more than just getting a library card, which I did once I got back into Viroqua. But I just felt the need to give more, and libraries have always been a part of my life. I went to the McIntosh Memorial Library as a child and enjoyed all of it. But the library was very different when I was a kid. It was kind of that place where you walk in, you check out items, and you leave.
There wasn't quietly, always
quietly,
so quietly.
With Mrs. Fleming was the librarian at the time, and there just didn't feel a reason to stick around.
Uh-huh.
You just kind of went. It was transactional. And so when I joined as a volunteer with Mrs. Krager, things were changing. It was very different then, and I appreciated that time. And then to get hired on as the library director was a huge surprise and just a career changer and a life changer, of course. Being that I've been in this position now for 16 years.
Yeah, well, and you've seen a lot of transitions through the library.
Oh, yes.
You know, I guess I want to take us back, because when you started then, that would have been in the building over by the post office or whatever.
Correct.
And so you've been involved in this process of designing and preparing for the new library, and then, of course, implementing and getting it up and running and...
Yes, absolutely. That was part of the reason I was hired. The library board said, we can teach someone how to be a librarian. We can teach people how to buy books and shelve books and do that component. But what we need is someone who knows this community and is not afraid to dig in deep to help us build a new library. And so I knew that was part of the requirements going into this job. And I thought, there's probably going to be a one-time chance in my life to do something like this. Most people don't run around building libraries in communities. And so I was up to the challenge. And it was a heck of a big project. There is no doubt about that. When I started, I traced back board meeting minutes from 40 years before my employment that said, I think we should talk about a new library. Mm-hmm. And 40 years later, there I was. I was on the job 6 months before I said, I'm ready to start this project. And 8 years later, we moved into the new library on Rock Avenue. So it was a huge endeavor.
It's such a beautiful facility. It's very welcoming, all the windows, all the light, you know, just the open spaces. There's just a lot of really good things about the library building.
Well, thank you so much. You know, when we moved from the old library on Jefferson Street to the new one on Rock Avenue, we doubled in size. And my biggest kind of chant that I led for 8 years was, we need a library that is accessible to all, because the old library building was not ADA accessible.
Uh-huh.
And that was very disappointing to me, that I'm running a public building that not all public can enter. And so I kept true to that message from the very beginning, is we need a public space that all people can enjoy and be part of. And it was an incredible process. And we heard left and right from other communities that built libraries, is you're going to get busier when you open the new library. And boy, did we ever. We completely underestimated how busy we would become, because all of a sudden, people that really struggled to have access to the old building were coming in with ease. And it just felt incredible. It was just the most wonderful feeling to know that people can come in and enjoy their library without any big hurdles to overcome.
Well, and that just sounds like such a good phrase to work by, but that accessible to all, not just physical access, but it feels like so much of the programming and the offerings there's such a variety that it feels like that's still a motto that fits. You know, we're going to have something for everything from the kiddos to the elderly who struggle with maybe a little more of the technology. Or
absolutely. You know, we've always, since I've been employed, had a youth services director. But the one thing we did not have is an adult programming and outreach person. And I advocated very hard with our city council that our library needed an individual employed that would focus on activities for adults. and doing outreach for our community. And I feel so blessed that they listened and they understood, and we've been able to have a person employed in that position for nearly 3 years. And that really changed the scope, because I was doing all the programming and outreach plus running the library, and it was becoming too much. When that new library opened, it's just like people started being aware that libraries were existing and that they are so relevant in a community. And so being able to have an equal balance of a youth services director and an adult programming outreach coordinator has just been a game changer for us. And that's why you're seeing such balanced and expansive program offerings.
Well, I appreciate the fact that your vision has really helped guide this development of the programming and the key pieces that make the library the community service that it is. And I guess it maybe is a good, too, to throw out, if you want to, even a mention of your staff, because you've got to have some good staff or you wouldn't be able to do this.
Well, not only staff, but volunteers. And I might be the library director, but it doesn't end with me. There are so many wonderful people. We have 13 staff. 4 are full-time. The rest are all part-time staff. Our youth services director and the adult programming and outreach coordinator are both full-time. But they're a fantastic group, and we just click. You know, sometimes you can have a staff and that one person is the bad apple, but we don't have that. And it just feels really good. Since I've been the library director, we've always had on staff a person with a disability, and that has been something that I've been very consistent with and something that means a lot to me. His name is Michael, and he's one of our custodians, and he's just outstanding. But then our library board, we have a board of 7, all volunteers. We have our Friends of the Library organization, all volunteers. And we have a number of people that volunteer in other capacities. So it's beyond just me and staff and volunteers, but I also go to the community. If the community didn't support the library, we're not going to be there. And this community absolutely loves public libraries and their library. We are just surrounded by such support every day. And that's what fuels us to do more. We're just non-complacent, I guess, is my word for myself. I always strive to find something more and something unique to bring to this community. I think we kind of push the boundaries of what a public library is all about. And that's okay.
Well, it's definitely not a place to just check out a book anymore.
Oh, my gosh, no.
It's so incredible to me, even as I was looking at your website and just kind of looking at some of the different ideas. And you know, I see your posts on Facebook. There's social media activity mm-hmm. that you guys are involved in. And so this variety of events, I mean, there's everything from, you can even, like, check out wood carving kits.
Absolutely. You know, this is a great story. We have a group of 5 people, and they're all widows. And they found companionship through the art of wood carving. And this group decided, you know, we're older and we don't want this craft to end when we do. And they connected with the library, and we have been offering monthly wood carving classes for, oh my gosh, I want to say maybe 4 years, maybe longer. I just can't quite remember. Dr. Roger Hatlam started this, and our wood carving classes are full to capacity every week, or every month rather. And you're right, we do check out wood carving kits, which contain all types of patterns and tools, so you can take that kit and go home and make copies or carve out the patterns, whatever works for you. It's just been a great group, and this year they opened it up to youth and adults, so we expanded it a bit. It was just adults before, but now it's for all ages, which has been great.
Well, there's probably so many programs we could talk about, and so let's talk about a few more even, because I'm just intrigued by, I think there's a Meet Your Neighbor. Is that on Friday mornings?
It's brand new. It's called Meet Your Neighbor. It's on the 3rd Friday of each month at 10 o'clock in our large lobby space. I think it kind of goes back to the title of this program, which is Conversations, where we need more of that. And so this is an opportunity for people to come in to listen to community leaders talk about matters happening in our area. Our first Conversations program earlier this month was about the decommissioning of dams in Vernon County. And coming up in April, Viroqua Fire Chief Chad Burris will be our guest, talking about the new Viroqua Fire Station coming to the city, which is a huge project. And we want to start talking about the budget. Why do we need a big new fire department? What's the future of the Viroqua Fire Department? So that will be coming up in April, and then more to come as we head into summer.
One of the things that I have appreciated about the programs that I've seen and attended are the fact that there are, it makes it easier for me to stay informed.
Well, that's part of the goal, and maybe that's part of my media background coming in, is I want to inform people. And so I think having these thoughtful programs such as Meet Your Neighbor is part of that. It's just a way to stay more connected to your community and knowing what that pulse is of things happening. These topics that we're bringing in for this program are big ones, such as the decommissioning of dams, and now in April again about the new Viroqua Fire Department or fire station that will be built. And so I think that's part of this platform, is to make it easy for people to be informed and to be able to come to the library, sit comfortably, and ask those questions.
It feels very relational also.
I really want that. I really want that. You know, some people have said to us, oh my gosh, you come into the library and it's just a beehive of activity and there's so much happening and it's not a quiet, shushy place. And nope, that's not what the libraries are like today, at least Viroqua was. You know, we want this to be a place of gathering, a place of conversation. And we don't hush and shush people unless it gets way out of control. But we really want it to be a place of engagement. And that's why we have little nooks and crannies set up throughout the building for people to gather in groups of one or 10. Doesn't matter. But use your library. That's what we're for. Come and use it.
I was in the lobby one day, and it was just really fun because all of a sudden, well, coming out the door were a bunch of young boys, and adult men. So, and I've discovered as I listen, because I like to be a people watcher and pay attention, but they were talking about chess club.
They've been having
so much fun with chess club.
You know, I will be the first to admit that I know nothing about chess and the popularity. We were approached by Tim Jenkins, a local chess genius, I'm going to call him. And he said, hey, what about starting some chess activity at the library? So we said, okay. And so we bought 10 chess boards and we provide a bunch of tables and chairs. And Tim said, if you do that, I'm going to come every week and bring some other fellow chess players with me who will coach. And we will teach people who don't know how to play how to play. And let's make this an all ages program. We went for it. I had no idea what to expect. And we've been averaging at least 60 people every single week for our chess club. Our youngest player is 5. And our oldest player is a gentleman who sits on the library board who's 85. And there's an agreement when you sit down to play chess, you shake hands and you decide, how do you want to play this game? Do you want to be kind of ruthless and go for the win? Or is it more a casual, you know, just happy play? And what I love so much about this is how it's multi-generational. And the 85-year-old and the 5-year-old play together. Or a teenager is playing with a young kid or an adult playing with a teenager. And it's just been fantastic. And all we did was buy 10 chess boards and provide some space. And I just had absolutely no idea what would happen here. And it's just taken off like crazy. And it's wonderful.
Yeah, no, that's fabulous, Trina. You know, my work as a therapist person, you know, I'm all about relationships.
Yes.
And to really give people an opportunity to connect intergenerationally like that. And I think that's got to be one of the challenges of the library, too, now, is to meet the needs of the age range. We're kind of different. In some ways, I think we see particularly technology differently.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, it's always changing, and I think that's why it's important to always not be complacent, again, as I said earlier, but to always be thinking ahead and being okay with taking a risk and giving this a try. Is it quiet in the library during chess club? Absolutely not. One person even said, isn't chess quiet? I'm like, I don't know, but this group isn't. But it's good for us to think broadly and be very open-eared to what our patrons are telling us and saying, okay, that might sound a little corny to us, but let's give it a try. What do we have to lose? And I think that's where we've been successful is really trying to meet the needs of our patrons where they want us to and being open to something that, again, isn't that typical library thing and being okay with giving it a try. And that's why I praise our library board for being okay with some of my wild ideas that I bring to them and not running for the hills, but saying, okay, you know, I think I'll put some good thought into this before trying it out.
Well, it seems like that really supports too that whole idea of community. Not only are you offering to the community, you're giving, but you're receiving. You're taking their ideas and So having, you know, like Tim Jenkins and the chess master,
yes,
and the wood carving guy, you know, having those people come forward and then you work with them. That's really fabulous. Let's take a minute. We're going to take a break right now. I guess I want to thank everybody for tuning in on WDRT. This is the program Conversations. We're here every week with rotating hosts. Today, my guest is Trina Erickson. She's the director of the McIntosh Memorial Library here in Viroqua. My name is Kayleen Welsh, and we welcome you to the program live every Thursday morning at 9 o'clock, or tune into the archives later on WDRT.org. I love all of these stories that you have about these different people and that have shown up. Any other programs that you want to, like, mention out like that, or stories to share?
Of course. You know, I think, again, thinking about what are the community needs, and that's one thing our library is really good at, is listening to what is our community talking about? What are some ways the library can support some of the challenges in our community? And the one thing I've always been proud of is the fact that we really have done our best to help with the challenges of childcare in our community. The city of Viroqua is considered a childcare desert, as are many towns in Viroqua. There's more demand than there are providers. And so we host a daily after-school program at the library in partnership with Viroqua Area Schools. This started in 2017 when the Viroqua School District lost their grant to provide after-school care. And that's when our phones started ringing from parents saying, "Library, we need help. What can you do?" And so myself and our youth services director and the library board started meeting with school district administration, and we were able to come to an agreement to host this daily after-school program. Fast forward to 2024, this program has grown to 50 children that are enrolled in the program. Every day at 3:21 p.m., two school buses drop off 50 kids at the library in grades first through fifth grade. And they come in, they're fed a very healthy snack, and then they go off on an excursion. Most of them just want to play. They have been in the classroom all day, and they just want free time. So most of the time is spent over at Eckhart Park. We go to the Park Bowl. We go to the library garden, which is across the street from the library. Or we walk over to the Pleasant Ridge Waldorf outside playground. And the kids just want that. They want the free play. And then they come back to the library with about 20 minutes before their parents come. And then they just have open reading time where they can explore the library, grab a book off the shelf, and just enjoy. This is a free program that is at absolute capacity. Not that we don't want more, it's just that we can't fit more. Mm-hmm. 50 youth after school is a lot. And I know we're not solving the childcare problem, and I know we're not helping everyone, but I'm proud that we can help at least 50 families, and some are sibling groups too. But what a difference we make. And we are unaware of any other public library doing this. I have traveled Wisconsin to many library conferences. I've been to national conferences on the East and West Coast. And when we talk about the McIntosh Memorial Library After School Program, people look at us and say, "What are you talking about? What is this?" And they're unbelievably amazed that a public library would be willing to take on the task of childcare. But that's what our community needs, and that's why the library is there.
Yeah, that's a pretty impressive thing, really. That's such a dilemma for families and parents. You know, the daycare issue is a challenge. You know, work schedules don't align with school schedules, and so that's what a huge thing that is.
It's a workforce matter. I mean, we have had so many families say, "I don't know what we would do without this program because our employer requires us to be at work at 5. We can't get off at 3 o'clock when the school lets out." And so we know that we're helping the workforce and local businesses, but also, again, helping that childcare deficit, which is just raging across the nation. And we're very proud to do this. It's a free program with healthy snacks and structured time and good staff that administer this. And without the school district, we couldn't do this. And so I'm very, very proud of this program.
It brings me back again to the word community, because it just feels very collaborative. And even if we recognize that we can't solve the whole problem, we can at least contribute something to some betterment in whatever way we can.
Absolutely.
And so that's fabulous. And, you know, I do believe that is, I don't know, as opposed to maybe the world that's set up, that is designed where work schedules are so difficult sometimes and the rules so rigid for parents. I know it's tough, and yet to have this more of a collaborative, how do we work together to solve this problem kind of attitude, to me is crucial.
No, it's great. And this is the first year that we've opened the door to fifth graders. In the past, the program ran to fourth grade, but at the end of last year's school year, we had several parents say, what about fifth grade? Because we have a fourth grader that's ending now, and they're just not ready to go home by themselves. And so that's when we decided, well, we're being asked, let's give it a try. And fifth graders and fourth graders are very different people, we've realized. But it's been really great because those fifth graders have been able to contribute in a different way. Right now, they're cleaning books, and they're cleaning books to earn some prizes. So for every 15 minutes that they clean some of the library books, they earn a prize. And that has been so fun to watch them just dig right in with their cleaning solution and some rags and clean those books, and knowing that they're going to get a prize, but they're really helping the library. And it's just been a good kind of service lesson for these kids that, you know, giving back in little ways really can make a difference.
Well, I always have believed that there's a consequence for everything that we choose to do. So it can either be good or bad. The rewards are important.
Yes.
We do respond to things that we feel good about doing and that do reward us in some way. Oh, so that's lovely. Well, there's so many programs that you guys are doing, and I guess the only other one that really stood out for me, and I'm like, I've been gone all winter, so I've missed this, but the Bring Your Own Book Club?
Yes. You know, we, again, pushing those elements of what a library does. This is not a traditional book club, because usually a traditional book club, everybody in the group reads the same book, comes together, and chats about it. But in talking to Maggie, who is the adult program coordinator, we both said one of the reasons neither one of us are in a book club is because I don't want to read a book I'm not interested in. My to-read list is enormous, and I don't want to take away from getting to that. So we said, let's do a Bring Your Own Book Club, where you can bring any book you're reading and talk about it and tell people that are in the group why this book means so much to you, why you love this author or this genre or this theme. And it's working, because we're not telling anyone what to read. You read what you love, and then you can talk about it. And so we meet at Magpie Gelato, so you can sit down, have some coffee or gelato or a little treat, and then just in a more relaxed environment. This was important to me to show that the library is bigger than the building we're in. We're part of this community. And so that's why taking this out into a business to support them was really important to me. And we're having a lot of fun with it. We just started it this year.
I love that idea. And is this just a winter thing? Is it going to be ending now?
No, it's going to keep going, because there's enough interest that we feel committed to keeping this going.
Okay, so fill me in. When is that?
Okay, you're going to test me, Caitlin, but I do believe it's on the last Thursday of the month at 5:30 at Magpie Gelato.
I think you might be right.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maggie's there, and she leads the discussion. And it's interesting, because that was one thing we talked about. She's like, I don't know how to lead a discussion if I've never read the book. And so the beauty of this is you don't have to have read the book. We can just talk. And again, giving people a platform to advocate why this is a great author or a great topic. And I think it also might expose you to a genre that maybe you've never tried, such as fantasy or science fiction or westerns. Because I know we all have our preconceived love for certain genres. And until someone tells me, Trina, you should really try this science fiction book, I probably wouldn't, because that's one of my least favorite genres. But if you tell me that, Kayleen, I might be like, okay, Kayleen has told me, I trust Kayleen, so I'm going to read this book. And I think that's a really good thing.
I love that idea, Trina, because, I agree with you. I don't want to read a book I don't want to read, but I love to read. I mean, clearly, so that's been something. And yet, to be able to share about a book you love, and I do have some great sci-fi recommendations for you.
Okay, good.
Fantasy. So expanding our horizons again. You know, what a beautiful thing. It's getting out of the box. And I think that's one of our challenges, whether we're talking libraries or community development or our own lives. You know, it's really some time we got to get out of the box on some things and do some things differently.
I don't disagree at all.
Wow, that's fabulous. The other thing I just was curious about that you mentioned was the library garden.
Yes, so we have a library garden. It is right behind the historic bathhouse in the large green space that is owned by the city. We received a federal grant 4 years ago to start a community garden. And so the component of this grant is interesting. You have to do two things. Of course, plant the vegetables. But number one, you either have to use the produce grown in an educational format, or you have to give it away to people that are food insecure. And so we have done both, but for most of the food grown in the library garden, we donate it to the residents of the Parkview Manor apartment building, which is just right there by the library. It's interesting what we do. We go to Parkview Manor every spring and we poll the residents and we say, what do you want us to grow in the library garden? Because we're not going to grow zucchini if everybody doesn't like zucchini, which everybody should love zucchini because it's so great. And so we listen to what they say. You want tomatoes? We're planting tomatoes. You want green beans? You got green beans. And you want potatoes? No problem at all. So we take those comments and we go back to the library garden. And usually the youth in our after-school program are involved in all the planting. Because then they understand what is going to happen to this produce once it's harvested. It's going right behind the garden to the apartment building to help those individuals. And so we work with Community Hunger Solutions and Master Gardeners who come in, they harvest the produce, they clean it up, and then deliver it to the residents at Parkview Manor. It's just fantastic because it's literally going just like a block away from where it was grown. And it is helping individuals that that really want that fresh produce and just sometimes don't have access to it. So it's just a really wonderful partnership that we have with the city for the property, with Parkview Manor, Community Hunger Solutions, UW Extension. It's just been a really great kind of extension arm for the library to be able to do this.
I just feel like I got to say, wow. Wow. I mean, every single one of you, these programs that you talk about and activities are both a reflection of that listening that you do, which I think is really probably part of what makes the library such a vital part of the community is listening to the needs of the community, and then the collaborative work with all of these other groups and organizations and tying the like threads together. So like the kids in the school program can like get a sense of what it's like to plant this food. Mm-hmm. And then you've got people on the other end in Parkview that are needing some resources. And so you provide food for them. I mean, what a just a great, I don't know what else to call it, but community effort. I mean, you know, great working together.
And I think that's why I always envision the library without walls. This has been my philosophy for years. I want to make entering the library space as effortless as possible. You can literally glide in off the sidewalk or the street into the building to, you know, enjoy the benefits of your local library. But the same is true for staff. We can glide out into the community and listen to what our community's needs are. Food security, economic development, certainly childcare, and then we can come back and really put some thoughtful effort into understanding what our community needs are and brainstorming how the library can be part of a solution. That is really important to me because that library, again, if the public isn't there, we're not there either. So we have to be an active participant in our community, and I think we're doing that the best we can.
It brings me back to your statement at the beginning of that idea of wanting the building, the new building, the new library to be accessible to all. And so I love that, the library without walls. There's so many other things we could talk about. I mean, I'm sure there's a ton of other programs we haven't even mentioned. I know there's stuff coming up for winter or for the Equinox event.
Yes, the solar event.
Yeah, which is just a big thing again. It's kind of a big thing astronomically. And so I like what I like about that is the variety, again, of programming that you're offering around this event that is pretty rare in some ways. And yet, I mean, you're educating the community, but in so many different ways. There are so many different things that you could do.
Oh, I know. And, you know, some of these have already passed, so I'm not going to mention them. But we've had a lot of activities already leading up to the solar eclipse, which is on Monday, April 8th. The big thing to know is you can get solar eclipse glasses at the library, so you can come to the circulation desk and ask for them. We have plenty, so don't feel like you're asking for too much. But the one thing we're kind of excited about is we're bringing in Professor Thomas Beatty from UW-Madison on Monday, April 1st at 5:30. And he's going to talk about a topic that says, how can we find other life in the universe? This is one of his specialties. And so we felt that this would be a very interesting topic as we really focus on the planets in our solar system. But I do want to invite everyone to a solar eclipse watch party. It is going to be the day of the eclipse, Monday, April 8th. 12:30 to 1:30 is the time frame where we're going to have the eclipse in the city of Viroqua. And so this is a time for you to come put on those safety glasses to look at the eclipse. We're also going to have a high-powered telescope called a solar scope that you'll be able to look safely through at the sun.
Wow, that's awesome too. Yeah, no, that'll be really good. There's just so many things. And I mean, we haven't even talked, there's so many things we could talk about, right, Trina?
Absolutely.
But it brings us back again to one of your newer events, but the Ridges
and Rivers Book Festival.
Yes. Second year for the book festival, and it sounded like it was just a really well-received event last year.
You know, it was. I took 1 year, well, probably a little bit more than a year of my life to devote to co-founding and helping bring the book festival to Viroqua. It started out with three people, and it quickly had to expand because a book festival is huge. But, you know, we planned the Ridges and Rivers Book Festival for 2023, had no idea, would anybody even come? We've devoted all this time. And they did. We had over 1,000 people come to our first Ridges and Rivers Book Festival. The one thing that I'm so proud of is those attendees spent over $100,000 in the city of Viroqua that weekend.
Wow.
On lodging, food, gas, and just shopping at the stores up and down Main Street. And that was one of the reasons why we did this book festival, was to inject commerce into our community. Winters are long in Wisconsin, even this one that's been kind of funky. It's been long, and tourism slows down, and so many of our businesses rely on tourism. And so we wanted to do something towards the end of winter to inject life into the community, and that book festival really did it. And after it was over, we took a couple of weeks just to regain our ground, and we started reading comments from attendees. And overall, the message was, please do it again. And so we are doing the book festival again. We have formed our own nonprofit organization now called Ridges and Rivers Incorporated. And the book festival is coming April 26th and 27th, 2024. RidgesandRiversBookFestival.org is our website. We have over 50 authors coming into Viroqua for the book festival this year. We've added some additional locations for book festival locations where events will be happening. We've added the Commons, Verda Memorial Hospital, Bethel Holman Services, and I thought there was one more, but maybe, oh, Eckhart Park. That's the fourth one.
Wow. So tell me a little bit more about that as far as what is the goal with the Rivers and is it Rivers and Ridges?
Ridges and Rivers.
Ridges
book
and
Fest.
Rivers.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, the goal is, of course, to expose people to great literature. And the fact that we are in a small town and sometimes don't have exposure to all this cultural richness, we want to bring that here. We have found in our research, there is no community in the United States smaller than Viroqua that does a book festival. We are the smallest, and that's okay. But it's also, again, community helping these businesses have a real influx of commerce during this weekend, bringing people together to talk about literature, to talk about authors, to enjoy these presentations. And we're also starting early this year. We're doing Friday, April 26th, because there's no school in the Viroqua School District. So we're doing a big bushcraft camp day at Eckhart Park, where kids are going to learn about some primitive skills in all different age categories. And then our big event on Friday night, we're bringing in psychic medium Molly Morningstar from Kohler, Wisconsin. Molly is fairly well known across the state, and she is going to be our signature presentation at the Temple Theater on Friday, April 26th. But then on Saturday, it is all day, going all day with authors, writing workshops. We're doing a 50th anniversary Dungeons and Dragons celebration. Dungeons and Dragons was created in Wisconsin and is 50 years old this year. So we're doing a big celebration of that.
Oh, I want to hear more. So we'll come back to that again. Let's just take a break because I'm really excited to hear more about this event. There are so many things that you've got going on with that again. The variety and the inclusiveness. I hear that you, not just ages, but I want to say different aspects of the community. So let's come back to that. And again, I will just take a break and welcome people to the show Conversations. Every Thursday morning, we're here on WDRT-FM. You can stream it live on WDRT.org. Always find us in the archives if you miss a live show. My guest today is Trina Erickson, the director of the McIntosh Memorial Library. And my name is Kayleen Welsh, and we're sure glad you're here. Trina, we were just talking about this big event with the Ridges and Rivers. I'm going to say it wrong again.
No, you got it right, Kayleen.
Ridges and Rivers, which is a great title again, too, for this area. It's such a good reflection of the area. I thought about that when I saw the name the other day.
That's why we named it that.
Yeah. Again, inclusive. It just kind of brings everything together, the farms and the hilltops. And,
right.
Here we are in town. So,
And that's part of the book festival. It's just such a variety when I look at who's coming in. We're really proud to be able to host events at Bethel Holman Services on Friday afternoon, April 26th. One of the key speakers is former Wisconsin Governor Marty Schreiber. Mr. Schreiber wrote a book called My Two Elaines, which is about his wife's 18-year battle with Alzheimer's, and her name was Elaine. And so Mr. Schreiber is coming in to talk about what that was like to walk side by side with his partner in life who had this terrible disease of Alzheimer's. We're also excited at Bethel Holman Services to have a gentleman whose name is Al Cornell. This is such an interesting story. Al spent 1 year of his life at a beaver pond every single day in rural Vernon County. And he sat in what I'm calling like a hunting blind or a hunting shack. And not only did he observe the beaver, but he observed everything that happened around this pond for 1 year. And he created a beautiful, I would call it a coffee table book, with absolutely stunning pictures of the beaver, but all the little friends that would visit this beaver pond. And so he's coming to speak at Bethel Holman Services as well. And just interesting topics. George Hesselberg, he was the obituary writer, I believe, at the Wisconsin State Journal. And he wrote a book about what it's like writing obituaries for 40 years at a newspaper. And he's being brought in by the Wisconsin Historical Society Press. Chad Lewis is back. Chad was one of our favorites last year. He has wrote numerous books on the paranormal in Wisconsin. And he will be doing some presentations at City Hall. But we also have a lot of local authors. We have Kevin and Patsy Alderson. They will be speaking at the Vernon County Museum and History Center about round barns in Vernon County and what a special place we have here that so many of the round barns are still standing. And you can see them when you take a drive around our county. We also have, Jane Schmidt, a local author who writes these wonderful little stories about her and her adventures with Finnegan the dog. We'll be doing a program at the library. We have author Stephen Shaskin coming in from the Twin Cities. He writes a graphic novel series for kids called Pizza and Taco. And pizza and taco sometimes have a little kerfuffles in their life. And so he is going to be debuting the new book, Pizza Taco Wrestling Mania, at the book festival.
Sounds like great fun. And what a good variety of topics again. I was surprised, even as I've lived here in Viroqua, I'm valuing the cultural opportunities in this small town. So the fact that you guys make this available and such a variety of presenters, there's also a lot of authors in this area. I think people are, wanting to write and share stories. And so the fact that you allow a range of platform for people to come forth is really wonderful.
Absolutely. And I've always felt that that is the mission of the book festival, is to support these new writers. Many are self-published, and they are the writer, they are the PR person, they do it all. And so one person that we have kind of watched grow up in this industry is Sue Berg, who's from Rural Viroqua. She writes a Driftless Mystery series, and book number, I think it's 4 or maybe 5 in the series, is coming out in April. And so she'll be at the book festival selling her new book and talking about the Driftless Mystery series that has become so popular with many. You know, we're heading into garden season. I know with this kind of weird winter weather we've had in the last couple of days, it's hard to believe. But national TV and radio host Melinda Myers will be at the Temple Theater talking about low-maintenance landscaping, which is something that I need to learn a lot about, because landscaping I love, but oh, it's going to be a lot of work. We're also bringing in Rhea Thundercloud. Rhea is is part of the Ho-Chunk Nation, and she wrote a book about Native dance. And so she is going to be reading from her children's book and then bringing kids on stage at the temple to show them how to dance with her. And we're also bringing in, this is one that's very exciting, we had them at the library 2 years ago. We're bringing in bald eagles from the National Eagle Center out of Wabasha, Minnesota, and they will be at the Temple Theater on Saturday, April 27th. If you've never had the pleasure of being up close and personal with a bald eagle, it is absolutely magical. And so this is a program, of course, for all ages to get to know a little bit more about bald eagles and just feel their immense presence. It's absolutely phenomenal.
That definitely sounds like a weekend that people better mark off on their calendar, because there's so many opportunities. What a wonderful, you know, range of events for all ages and all interests, and just so many things to do. That's fabulous.
Thank you. And again, ridgesandriversbookfestival.org is the website. Most of the events are free. There's a few that are ticketed, and any of the writing workshops do require advanced registration. So take advantage of this. It is really fabulous. And to have, again, a small town that comes together to help put this on is remarkable. We had 53 businesses involved last year, and that is something that I'm so proud of. It's not just a library thing. It's not just a couple groups. It's a whole town that really supports this program.
Well, and I think that takes us back again to so much of the focus of your work, Trina. And I guess I want to just say thank you for all you've done to bring this community together and to create this network of resources and organizations and groups working together to really create these events for those of us that live here.
Oh, you're
very
welcome.
What a fabulous opportunity. And, you know, the library is getting its recognition, I think. I saw that you were... Was it the Wisconsin Library of the Year in 2022?
You are right. You know, we were shocked, and it was so fantastic. Named the best library in the state in 2022. That award came from many of the things we do, including our diversity, equity, and inclusion programming, our childcare efforts, and so on and so forth. But I always say when a small library receives such an award, it's something to really be proud of, because you're competing against the big libraries, Madison, Milwaukee's, all the more urban. And to have a small little library like McIntosh Memorial be recognized on such a high level, it truly is one for the record books.
Well, and it sounds like you do a lot to keep yourself informed and educated and in the loop, and to share your experience by participating in different conventions and groups. And I saw that next week, is it that you and is it Lacey, the youth services person? Off to, is it, okay, national convention?
Yeah, it's a national, it's the Public Library Association Conference. So this is a world conference in Columbus, Ohio that is just focused on public libraries. So that, of course, is us. And Lacey and I were invited to speak. And so it's pretty hard to say no when you're asked to speak on a national level. Our topic is Transforming Community, a Rural Library Story. And it's really talking about us and how we have embraced
raised five key issues in the community and how the library has played an active role in trying to support those initiatives or help to find solutions to some of the problems. We also spoke on this topic at a national conference in Chicago last year, and it was very profound. The number of people coming up to us afterwards saying, A, how do you do this? B, do you ever sleep? And C, how does this fit into the traditional library that so many of us know? And so being able to spread the word and challenging people to think again outside the box, we always say never let the size of your town, your budget, your staff ever sway you, because there's always a way through. And always think creatively. And it's just exciting when you're able to spread this word and get Viroqua on the map. It's pretty cool.
Well, and bringing us into the, 21st century, 22nd century, let's move forward. It's like we're moving into a different future of education and sharing and collaboration and community and learning. And so what a fabulous opportunity. It does feel like it seems, you know, as we talk about libraries and changes and things, one of the things that I think there has to be several issues, I guess I would almost call them social or ethical issues, that also need to be addressed as you're expanding and working with the library. I'm thinking about things like banned books.
Yeah. Oh, it's a huge topic. I mean, as you know, across the nation, I've sat through many meetings and workshops about it. You know, luckily, we have, again, this community that so embraces the library, and we have not faced a book challenge. And we're hopeful we don't. We're hopeful that people understand that the role of a public library is to provide access to all types of information. And I think we do a very thoughtful job of curating our collection. We have very different methods that we do that with. But we're not willy-nilly about just throwing a book on the shelf. There's a lot that goes into that. And we certainly hope that we don't face a challenge because, again, we really strive hard to provide for all, which can be very difficult. But, again, we put such thought into the purchases we make and what we put on the shelf, and we hope that the collection supports what people are looking for.
Well, so much has changed technologically.
Yeah, yes.
So keeping up with the, you know, changes or the access to the internet, all the social media pieces, and now we have AI, the artificial intelligence challenges and questions that are coming into play. Any comment about all of that?
You know, it's interesting. When I first started at the library, a few years probably afterwards, it always happened at the end of December around the holidays where we had a big influx of people come in with new tablets that put them on the desk and said, my kids gave me a tablet and I have no idea what to do with it. Help me, help me, help me. And so now it's evolved where, you know, the library certainly embraces technology. We have tons of computers for people to use, free Wi-Fi and printing. We have an app, Libby. Many of you love the Libby app, which is an opportunity to download books or audiobooks or magazines to your phone or tablet or computer to listen or view. And so are we on the cutting edge of technology? No. I don't know how you can be, but we certainly do our best to provide the service that we can. Our patrons are smart, and some of them ask some pretty tough questions, but we certainly try to offer the best support that we can through the library and always have helpful ways.
Well, and so where do you see, I mean, with all of this going on, I can't imagine, I mean, where do you get all of the ideas and all of the things keep moving forward? But any comment on where do you see the future of the library, or what would you like to see?
Well, I think the future of the library is strong. And that's because I'm really serious, Caitlin, when I say this, I want to print a shirt that says library, more than a house of books. Because there's some people that believe that, oh, I'm not a reader, so I can't go in the library. I don't like reading, or I'm not a good reader. And I want to ensure people that we will probably always have books. However, the library is so much more. Even if you think of it just as a place of gathering, if you've been in the building, you've probably experienced our birds, our aviary. We secured a national grant from AARP to bring in a bird aviary. And we have, it's kind of changing once in a little bit, but I think we have 10 songbirds in there. And that has just been this organic gathering place. We put some lovely couches around it. And so we have people that just come in and all they do is look at birds. And that, to them, is their public library. They don't need a book. They don't need a computer. They don't talk to anybody. But those birds are their connection. And so that's what I think our challenge is to continue to find things that are relevant that bring people into the building. And I'm hopeful as they sit there, they'll look around and say, oh my gosh, they have all this solar eclipse programming. Wow, they do have books. And gosh, I can check out a computer. And I always tell people, you know, the library is completely free of charge. Getting a library card costs you 5 minutes of your time. You lose the card, come back. 5 more minutes, but it doesn't cost you anything. And so being able to explore that, I think, is remarkable. And so I hope that the Macintosh Library will continue to evolve over time and always stay relevant with our community, our patrons, and the needs.
I don't think we could ask for any more than that. I want to go back to the people that run into you or that you see at some of these conferences and say, how do you keep up with all this? Where do you get the energy, the ideas, all the different vision? You must be quite a visionary person.
Well, I try to be, and I think, again, it's that non-complacency. I never feel satisfied, like we are done. Because it's always what's next. And so, marching in those parades to get ourselves out there and hosting book festivals and having live birds in the library. We had a library band for a number of years during the pandemic, where the library band, 5 musicians, would travel out to assisted living facilities and nursing homes, providing joy to those most isolated. And that was absolutely one of the most beautiful things. And so that's what keeps this library going, is always thinking ahead and outside the box.
Well, there are so many things that you keep coming back to, or things that you start talking about that you did that I go, wow, that's awesome. That's really wonderful that you provide that. So I think the summary of a lot of this conversation is the value to community and being accessible to all. You know, what a great idea for the library, and what a great thing for our community. There's a lot of changes going on in the world right now. It's an interesting place to be alive. And so to have these hubs that kind of help, you know, bridge things and bring us together and share information, we're, you know, really lucky in a town this size to have all of these opportunities.
For many, the library is their third place. Just that place where they can go and maybe relax for a moment, not think about work, not think about home, and just be. And again, that library without walls, effortless for people to come in and for us to be engaged in the community. That is my mission.
Well, so I guess for people to really keep informed of all of these different events, there are specific websites like the Ridges and Rivers.
Yep, ridgesandriversbookfestival.org. If you want specific library information, macintoshmemoriallibrary.org. We're also on Facebook, Viroqua Library. I would recommend you sign up for our library newsletter, because we put it out and we tell you all the good things coming and kind of looking back at what we did. Just a nice way to communicate with folks to get them excited, hopefully in the door at the library. Our next newsletter is going to be full of information about summer reading, because summer is a coming. And so we want to make sure people know what we have in store in just a couple of months.
Okay, so that's a good way to keep informed of everything that's going on. And I don't know, any closing thoughts then, Trina?
Thank you, Kayleen. And keep coming to the library and bring a friend. Okay. And get them a library card. Because again, how much does it cost?
Not a thing.
That's
it's free.
Right. It's free.
And I can come and I can see the birds, or I could play chess, or I could like learn about wood carving, or I can join the book club and, you know, talk to friends and get ideas on new books to read. And I can share my ideas of all the things that I love. And I can just really feel like I am a part of this community.
100%.
Yeah, that's really awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.